Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you about getting ready for the future. Getting ready for the future. When you think about the future, what do you think about? Well, probably if you're a Chiefs fan, you're thinking about this afternoon. If you're a Broncos fan, you're thinking about 5 years from now. I mean, get ready for the future. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about the future, don't we? Things that are on our radar. Some of you, if you're a student, maybe you're thinking about graduation. Maybe you're thinking about a move. Maybe you're thinking about a new job. Maybe you're thinking about a relationship and the future there. Maybe you're thinking about starting a family and having kids. Or maybe you're thinking about retirement. Whatever it is that you're thinking about in your future, one of the things that's for sure is you not only think about it, but if you're wise, you plan for it. You get ready for it. I want to ask you, are you ready for God's future? Are you ready for what God wants to do? You know, we're talking about a new normal. We're talking about God doing extraordinary things, not just in 2020, but as we stand at the start of a new year, we stand at the start of a new decade. And I believe that's significant for the Lord and for you and for me and for the church. Are you ready for what God wants to do? You know, often when God is going to do something in our lives, He asks us to get ready. And that preparation, that getting ready, is an act of faith on our part. Because what we're saying is, God, I believe you've got something exciting for me. You've got something exciting for the church. And I really feel that in my heart. That we're standing on the threshold of a new chapter, a new season of new things that God wants to do. Things that if we could see them today, we would be absolutely blown away. God wants to do those kind of things in this church, through this church. He wants to do those kind of things in your life and in my life.
Yeah, that's true.
The question is, how do we get ready for the future? And I just quickly want to give you four things on this Vision Sunday that can help us to get ready for the future. Number one, we get ready for the future by recognizing what God is doing. That's why we do Vision Sunday. If you're new here today, you might be wondering, why do you do all of this? Part of it is, it's important that you and I recognize the grace of God that you and I have experienced. That we're aware of the scale in which God is working. That we're reminded that what's happening here is not natural, it's supernatural. That it's not just a group of smart people building an organization. It is God building His house to show His glory and to reach the lost. I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. God is building a home. He's using us all. James River has not been built on the talents of a few, but on the sacrifice of many. God is enabling all of us as we jump in to be a part of something that He is building. And that's why it's so important for you and I. I mean, when you look at the salvations, a record number of salvations, you see the people coming to Christ, you hear those stories, that is God at work. When you see the baptisms, 1,446 this last year, almost 6,000 in the last 4 years, God is at work. When you watch the way the Lord is working at the camps, when you hear the stories of healings, when you hear the people talk about being filled with the Spirit, God is at work. When you think that not only this year did we give almost $4.5 million, but over 3 years we've given $13.4 million to missions, then you understand God is at work. When you see the growth of the church here at the South Campus, at the West Campus, at the North Campus, and in Joplin, God is at work.
Yeah.
part of the reason why we gave you this brochure is sometimes what happens is you come to Vision Sunday, you hear all these wonderful things, and then you walk out and you're like, now, what did they say or what was it that happened? This is a way to go back through and to remember the things that God has done. You say, why? Because when you and I recognize what God has done, it gives us faith to believe Him for the big things He's going to do in the future. It's so important that you and I recognize the goodness of the Lord and the grace of the Lord. And we went through it and we clapped and it was a nice little round of applause, a little more than a golf clap, but a whole lot less than an arrowhead cheer. So come on, God has done something big. Let's give Him praise. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Lord, we praise You. You're awesome. Lord, what You've done is amazing. Come on, cheer Him on.
We praise You, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank You, Lord.
You can be seated. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He's done. If we boast, it's in the Lord. If we seem to be excited, it's because God's doing amazing things. Well, number two, we get ready for the future by living with a faith-filled expectancy. What do you believe about this year? What do you believe about the next 10 years? Do you believe God's able to fulfill that scripture that He does more than we can ask or imagine? Do you have expectations of God's goodness? Listen to this in Isaiah. It says this, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. God is saying, believe Me for big things. No matter where you're at today, believe God to do the miraculous in your life. Believe that He's a God who answers prayer. Believe that He's a God who wants to do more than we can ask or imagine. Believe it. Live with a life of faith-filled expectancy. You know, we say the best is yet to come. I hope you understand that's not just some motivational slogan. That is a faith-building affirmation that tells us we know God has great things in store for us. I mean, I think back to James River. I think back in 1991, we had a group of people. We had 85 people meeting in 4,000 square feet. 10 years later, in September of 2000, we had 4,000 people meeting in 190,000 square feet. That's in 10 years. Think of what the Lord can do. You go on and you say, in September of 2010, we had 84 people meeting in two campuses. In September of 2019, we had 12,700 people meeting at four campuses. I mean, what could God do in the next 10 years? Listen, I'm just telling you, this is very, very important. It's not enough for me to believe God's going to do something great. It's important I do. But it's important you do. It's important that you believe the best is yet to come. It's important that you understand that God is able to do more than you can ask or imagine. It's important that you and I live with the expectancy of faith that says on any given day, God could show up and do something miraculous, and He probably will. But you miss it if you've forgotten what He's done in the past and if you're not expecting it today. Expect miracles. Expect the supernatural. Expect that you've sought God and God is going to show Himself faithful and powerful. As a church, let's believe this, that the best days are yet to come. Too many churches find themselves reaching a certain place and then it's all about the past. Praise God for what God has done in the past, but the future is full of miracles, and you and I have not begun to see what God wants to do in this church, through this church, in your and my lives. The best is yet to come. We've got to live with that faith-filled expectancy. If you don't have that, you won't see God do what he would want to do. Number three, if we're going to be ready for the future, we do it by doing all that we can do now. That it's not just sit back and watch, but it's roll up our sleeves and work. It's not just, well, if God's going to do it, it's going to happen. No, not at all. The actions, not only the attitude, but the actions that you and I have will determine in a large part what we see God do. That you and I get ready now. We get ready today. We get ready this week for what God's going to do this month, for what God's going to do this year, for what God's going to do in the next 10 years. You say, how do we do that? Let me just give you three very practical ways. We're getting ready for the future when we pray. Prayer has everything to do with the future you and I experience. In fact, prayer predicts the future for us. Show me your prayer journal and I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. If you don't pray, you're on your own. The best you can do is whatever you can do. But if you and I call on God, if you and I seek the one who does the miraculous, if you and I call on his name, we're going to see our life move from the ordinary to the extraordinary. We're going to watch a power invade our life and invade this church that's going to carry us far beyond what you and I could ask or imagine. Every time you and I pray, we are setting the table for a future filled with God's goodness, filled with God's power, filled with God's miracles. We get ready for the future when we serve, when we jump in, when we roll up our sleeves. We're getting ready for the future. You think any one of those stories that you saw in the video, and we could have shown 1,000 stories. Do you know how those happened? It happened because people were praying. It happened because people were serving. We're serving enthusiastically. We're at the door. We're being greeters. On one testimony, here's what the individual said. It's just so everybody's so happy here, and it seems so well organized. I don't want to become a Christian, but I just like being here. Then he said this. He said, I only have one thing to ask of you. He stopped me in the parking lot and asked me this on a Sunday morning after the last service. I was walking out to my truck, and he said, I just need to ask you to do one thing for me. The people keep trying to convert me, and I don't want to be converted. I said, I'm sorry, I can't help you there. It's what we do. It's who we are. I said, you know what you need to do, though, is you just need to get you a Bible. Well, I don't want to be converted. I said, but you can't understand church. You can't understand what we do. You can't understand who we are unless you understand the Jesus we follow. And so just get you a Bible so you can follow along with the message. Just get you a Bible so you can hear about Jesus, learn about Jesus, grow to know Jesus. Here's what he said. He said, I need to tell you again, I don't want to become a Christian. He was Hindu. It's Manish. I love Manish. At the time I said this to Manish, I said, listen, I don't know what your problem is. As a Hindu, you have 330 million gods. What's one more? And he just kept coming. And he just kept hearing. And because people were in the parking lot, and because people were at the door, and because people were in the auditorium, and because people were serving, his life was changed, and that was multiplied. That's been multiplied over and over and over and over. It's multiplied at a men's conference, at a women's conference, and every single week. Listen, you pray, you call on God. You get at the prayer meeting, you seek God. You serve, you get in Grow Track, finish Grow Track, graduate, get on a dream team, get in a life group, watch what God will do. You're setting the table for the future. your future and the future of the church, because when the church is blessed, you're blessed. When God is moving in the church, he's moving in your life. When you are seeing people's lives touched, it will touch your life, I promise you. Number three, we get ready for the future. We set the table by our giving. If you saw anything, listen, here's the reason why so many people are being touched, because somebody somewhere gave to buy the seat. Somebody somewhere gave to buy the chairs in the first building and the equipment in the second building and the carpet in this building and all the things that are part of every single building. Somebody, there's going to be thousands of people in Joplin that are going to come to know Jesus Christ because you're giving, because you're buying a chair, you're creating space for the gospel to go forward, where lives are going to be changed. You're setting the table. That's happened at every campus. God wants to do more than we can ask or imagine. Every time you give, you're not only setting the table for people's lives to be changed, but you're setting the table for God to change your own life. Because every time you give, every time you invest, God will pay you back with interest. On that, you can be sure. Jesus said as much. He said, anyone who sacrifices houses, lands, in this life will not fail to receive. Are you ready for this? 100 times as much in this life and in the life to come. I think that's 10,000%. If you want to, well, what kind of return is that? You say, do you give to get? No, I give because I want to invest. I give because I love the Lord. I give with an anticipation, knowing that God's going to use it to touch people's lives, and along the way, God will touch my own life. That God's going to change people's future, and along the way, God's going to change my own future. That's the way it works. We get ready for the future by doing things now. And if you're not doing anything now, you're missing the opportunity to be a part of really an incredible, incredible future. To the person who says, well, I don't know, you know, it's really bad. I don't know what's left to happen. Oh, here's something that will maybe surprise you, maybe not. I don't have an idea what's going to happen. I just can't wait to see it. I had no idea when we were meeting with 85 people that in 10 years we'd be meeting with 4,000. And I had no idea when we were meeting with 4,000 people that in another 10 years we'd be meeting with 8,700 people. You know what I said? Here's my idea. I would tour people through this church, truth be told. And I would say this. I would say, you know, 4,000 is probably as big as a church can get in Springfield. And I don't know that we'll ever fill this building. And that was before we had half the building we have now. You say, well, what happened? I mean, you know, God gave it to you anyway. God did it anyway. No, you know what happened? The Lord convicted me, and the Lord said, since when do you have the right to limit what I want to do in a place? You know, some of you, by your speech, you're limiting what God would do. By your lack of faith, you're limiting what God would do. By the words you speak, you're limiting. Oh, that could never happen. You're limiting what God could do. Open your heart to the Lord and say, God, I don't know what you want, but I want all that you want. I don't want to miss anything. God, here I am. Use me. You have me heart, mind, spirit, body, finances, all of it's yours. And God, I'm just asking you to show me your glory in my life, in my home, in this church, in this city. Lord, I pray that you would do more than I can ask or imagine. Because you're the God who does it. And I'm telling you, after 28 and a half years in this place, I've seen God do it over and over again. And I, with good authority, can tell you today on Vision Sunday 2020 that he's a God who does more than we can ask or imagine. That the best is yet to come. You can be sure of that. Lord, we praise you. If you could remain standing, I'm just going to give you one last thing really quick. Just stay standing. It won't take long. We get ready for the future by consecrating ourselves today. That when God is going to do something significant, he asks us to get ready. You know, it's not like, well, God, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. No, it's, I'm going to do something, but if I'm going to do it, if you want to see it, you got to get ready. You know, in Exodus chapter 19, this is very interesting. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai. For the only time in human history, 2 million people will hear the audible voice of God in such a terrifying, supernatural, awesome moment that they tell Moses, don't ever let that happen again. We'll die if that happens. Listen, you consecrate yourself and watch what God will speak to your heart. You consecrate yourself. You set apart. You say, God, I'm going to consecrate my life. You say, what does that mean? Here's a definition for you of consecration. Consecration means to prepare, to purify, to dedicate, to sanctify. That's to set yourself apart, to wholly dedicate, to not only be holy, but to be wholly in. To say, God, I'm all in. Some of you, what's kept you from experiencing what God would want to do in your life is you got one foot in, you got one foot out. You're kind of there and you're kind of not. And you're not seeing what others are seeing or what you would see if you'd say, you know what? I'm going to be wholly in. I'm gonna do what I need to do. I'm gonna step it up spiritually. And whatever that means for you. And some of you, even as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit speaking to you and telling you what it means. He's talking to you. Why? Because he wants to work in your life in a way you can't begin to imagine. More wonderful than you could believe. He wants to take you on a journey. In Joshua chapter 3, just one more scripture, watch this. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. If they don't consecrate themselves, it's not going to happen. If they say, we don't believe it, or if God wants to do it, that's fine, but I'm not going to do anything. It's not going to happen. There's something about when you and I set our heart on seeking him, whatever that means for you. For some of you, honestly, it means getting in the prayer meeting at any of the campuses to be at the prayer meeting. For others, it means, hey, you've gone through Grow Track, get on the dream team. For others, it means, hey, you're going to consecrate yourself by being a blessing to others, not just living for yourself, but living for others. And as you give your life away, you're going to find it in a proportion you never imagined as you get in a life group. For others, it means, hey, you know what? I'm gonna begin to invest in the kingdom. Some of you, honestly, you know, you're like on the fence on that whole thing. And the Lord is just simply saying, watch what I'll do. These are days where God is moving. These are days where God is visiting us. These are days where God is showing himself powerful. How else could you explain what we just saw? We gave you just a tip of the iceberg. There's 1,000 things we didn't have time to show you. 1,000 stories we didn't have time to tell. I'm just telling you, when you see what God is doing, you know God is doing something, right? I'm as sure he's leading this church as if we had a pillar of fire by night or a cloud by day. I'm as sure he's gone before us as if the Jordan River flew apart and we were walking through on dry ground. And listen, what God's doing in this place, he wants to do in you. He wants to show you. He wants to take you to a new level, but you're gonna have to consecrate yourself. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing again. We just have to give you praise. It's absolutely amazing, the dimension, the proportion to which you are working in this place. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. You have done it, and it is wonderful in our sight. You have done it, and you've let us be a part of this amazing thing you're doing. For who on their own could ever change a soul? No one. But you, oh God, are working through all of us. You're working. And God, I pray that today you would call every person at every campus to a new level of consecration. Lord, I pray that we would think in terms of the excitement and the enthusiasm of saying, I'm going to set apart things. I'm going to draw closer that I might see more. God, may faith rise in our hearts. God, may you show yourself powerful. May miracles happen. In Jesus' name we ask it. And Lord, I pray right now for those who don't know you. I pray right now for those who are away from you. I pray that they would find you as their Lord and Savior.